Hi, this is Phil Lairness, sitting alongside my wife, Lily Lairness. As we travel through the third decade of the 21st century, it's good to know that the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Editions continue to produce a minimum of 4 hours of weekly audio goodness on Siren Radio and southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. Why do you have that glazed expression on your face, Lil?
Too many numbers in that announcement.
I'm all for the cute little things like Baby Yoda. Words that were uttered by one of the team already in the Zoom room for this Midweek Drive extravaganza. Could it have been our soft as a marshmallow, Stay Puft person, Robin Pierce? I don't know. Could it have been our awesomely talented, there is no better person at doing Black Canary in cosplay than Gwyneth Griffiths? Well, I don't know. We might find out. I'll leave that hanging for the moment there. It could even be our awesome former curator of the Blackpool Museum of Star Trek and marvellous academic extraordinaire, now, of course, teaching at Anglia Ruskin. It's Paul Powers. How are you, Paul?
Great. Hi, guys. How's it going?
Excellent. We're well. But listen, Paul, first of all, we have to say congratulations because you have become a father again.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, Little Annie Powers was born exactly at midnight on the 5th of April, 7 pounds, 11 ounces. So yeah, it was really cool. We had it here at home and it was all very relaxed with a couple of midwives and some classical music.
So presumably the Star Wars theme was in the background then as she was being born. Was it Star Trek?
Actually, I had Thor Ragnarok on the TV right in front of where she was born, and I had it paused just at the point where the the energy beams coming out to make the rainbow bridge. Like, that's perfect because they're going from one place to the next, and that's where she's coming from one place to the next.
You see, that, Robin, is why we knew that Paul Powers is quite clearly one of us. You can tell. I
am actually going to deduct some points from Paul at this point because he did not name the little girl T'Pau. T'Pau Powers, come on.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Yeah, it's a thought, but, never mind. Paul, welcome back to the Midweek Drive. Good to see you as ever. I'll introduce you to the awesome Gwyneth Griffiths, cosplayer extraordinaire.
And
fan of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, as we can see in the background.
We're literally watching Ghostbusters right now.
See?
Yeah. Awesome.
This is the kind of strategy. This is clearly the kind of strategy that opens up in terms of so many wondrous ways. Paul, we do appreciate you obviously sort of connecting with us. I know when you said that your child was about to be born, et cetera, I said, well, you can combine both. But, obviously, we congratulate you. Congratulate your wife, of course. And, of course, is this number three or number two?
No, number two. Two girls. Yeah, I have Penelope and Annie.
Which is wondrous. That's great. So just to actually kick this whole thing off, because I want to talk a little bit about things such as cosplay and other sort of elements as well. But Robin Pierce, lead writer for Starburst magazine, when I actually said that you'd passed on the message, Paul, oh yes, he wrote a very nice and very favourable aspect about the Blackpool Star Trek exhibition thing, he denied all knowledge of it. I suspect this might be because it's a different Starburst writer, but now
they can
see each other via the medium of Zoom, etc. Is that the case, Robin, or is it a case of now you can see the awesome Paul Powers in full Zoomer vision or Cybernautist vision, which is what we like to see, Cybernaut. Join the Cybernaut Club. Why not? Emma Peel did, or not. Is this the Paul Powers you remember, or are you going to deny all knowledge? And Gwyneth can act as the arbiter on this one.
I don't believe that Paul we've ever met.
I agree.
I haven't covered that kind of the Star Wars experience because I would have definitely finagled my way there to see it myself.
Yeah, and I probably would have let you in for free and given you loads of merchandise as well.
He's that kind of guy.
Yeah. I'm like a super recognizer, and I'm not familiar with your face. The guy who I saw, they were a Manchester-based magazine, and he was from Starburst. Yeah. And he had like slick black back hair, I think I remember. He was kind of a... He had a couple of ladies with him.
Doesn't Andrew sound like Pollard, Ed Fortune.
That name sounds familiar, yeah.
Could well be Andrew Pollard.
Yeah, I think he like was him. There. Yeah. I think actually it might have been the exact same day when you were there, Alex.
No.
That rings a bell, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I didn't have slick back hair then, of course. No. I never have. So there we are.
And would you not have recognised me, Alex?
Probably. But would I have admitted to recognise you, Robin? I don't know. Sometimes it's difficult to tell. You know,
wow.
The whole routine. No, of course we would. Funny enough, we were just talking on Resonance Rewind, Paul, about Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea. Now, let's just quiz the Gwyneth. Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea. You're far too young to remember the original scenario, but how familiar are you with that particular series?
I've heard of it, and I've heard of the original. I think I've seen bits of it, but I've never, unfortunately, watched it, any of it, sorry.
Robin, of course, big fan, until, of course, he saw the episode Sealed Orders, in which case it's almost as though he's kind of started recanting all his previous sort of thoughts on Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea. But what about yourself, Paul? Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea?
I'm not familiar with that.
No, not at all. I mean, you see, this.
But I'll make a note of it, and I'll add it to the list.
My thoughts were, I think, you know, we've had Star Trek the Exhibition. Maybe we should have Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea.
I would go. I would go to that.
it's worthwhile working through that process. Gwyneth, what questions would you like to put to either Robin or indeed Paul? I mean, one of the things I initially sort of thought we could talk about is the fact that this week, the first ever edition of Action Comics, of course, which many people would actually say introduced the contemporary era of the superhero, went for £2.37 million. Now, I would normally have actually said that probably would have been what Paul would have bidded from it, because obviously, being in the world of academia, as you know, Anglia Ruskin, Paul, £2.37 million to an academic, it's chicken feed, really. And then I would have thought, maybe it was Robin, but then I realised Robin already probably shelled out £2.2 million for the 1940 edition of Batman number one. And probably having already purchased that particular one, you would have thought, you know, let's not go any further. So we're thinking about the valuable pieces of merchandise, etc. But you can ask any other questions that you wish, Gwyneth. It's your co-hosting show. Go for it, my girl.
I wasn't prepared for questions. Well, I'm curious to know what people have been watching, like, recently. I know not a lot of stuff's came out because things haven't been able to film or to be postponed, but there's been quite a few little movies and TV shows out recently. Just what you've been watching, what have you enjoyed?
Yeah. Paul, and do you want to talk about Star Trek Lower Decks again for the fans?
Yeah, I can do. I've been watching Lower Decks. Star Trek Lower Decks was really, really good fun. We're currently doing a rewatch of it right now. It is rewatchable. You can kind of miss things on the first run through and then pick things up later.
It's interesting you say that, Paul, because I said the same time. I mean, Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, first time I saw Sealed Orders, straight 4 out of 10. Sixth time round, it's gone up to a 6 out of 10. You know, so I'm thinking maybe I haven't managed to get the courage up to watch any more of Star Trek Lower Decks. I've seen the whole series as a one through.
Yeah.
I haven't managed to get that time around to watching it again, really. I mean, it's a tough call. I mean, but you'd advise to go for it, would you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you are the sort of perfect Trek fan, aren't you? You know everything about Trek. So, like, when you watch it through, you'll pick up those little hints, and, you know, they're kind of trying to connect the next gen universe and timeline to the show. So it is, it's worthy of your time.
They do, but every so often I feel whilst they try to do that, they then basically sort of go down a line which can only be described as like overt flatulence. But, you know, that's by the by. Yeah. You know, and I think, you know, enough already with the flatulence.
It's definitely not highbrow. That's probably why I like it so much. I'm a big kid at heart. So if you've got that, like, if you've got that inner child, like that excitement over new cartoons, then, you know, if you're a Wile E. Coyote kind of fan, then, you know, you'll be into it.
Yeah, Wile E. Coyote as Mr. Spock, and of course James Kirk portrayed by Beep Beep. It's gonna go up, you know.
No,
but then again, maybe it will. You know, again, I will store up the courage. I mean, fulfilled and actually fueled by my latest piece of merchandise, which I think is the awesome TJ Hooker mug. Of course, the William Shatner, nice. James Darren, Heather Locklear scenario. Clearly a very valued piece of merchandise. I feel that, you know, that might actually just be able to tip me into the balance of watching Lower Decks again.
Yeah.
But that was nice. Robin, is it going to be Kong versus Godzilla or Godzilla versus Kong? It's so confusing, but then does it really matter?
Well, it doesn't really matter, does it, in the long run? Today, I had two new T-shirts to add to my collection. One said Team Kong. The other one said Team Godzilla. So I'm straddling the fence. I'm kind of a little bit more Team Kong. So what have I been watching? Well, obviously, Godzilla versus Kong, which I enjoyed. Saw a really reprehensibly bad movie the other night, which I'll be covering on Saturday, called Beneath on Netflix. But my real favoured viewing at the moment is I'm doing a complete run through of The Avengers. Not The Avengers with Iron Man and Thor, the one with John Steed.
That's the one with Cybernauts in, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's the one with Cybernauts. And when you told me that I was coming on with Cybernaut Paul Powers, I thought, is he one of the guys that was in the Avengers? Am I this lucky? Turns out I may have been luckier. So I've been doing a run through of the Avengers and a first watch of the superhero series Black Lightning, which I'm really enjoying. But I'm about six episodes into the first season. I never expected to enjoy it this much. And I watch everything with the expectation that I will enjoy it. I don't watch anything to dislike it. But this is way surpassed most of what that particular team has done with the Arrowverse. I mean, how on earth do you slow the Flash down that much? It just turned into the Iris Barry glower hour. So I gave up after about 6 years. So that's pretty much what I've been watching.
Yeah, but Black Lightning was really good. I watched most of the first season of that, maybe all of the first season, but it was a while ago when it came on, wasn't it?
There's so much that's foretold in it. The whole BLM movement, you know, rioting. I mean, everything that happened last summer seems to have been foretold in season one of Black Lightning. And rather than it be all sort of skewed one way, you have, you know, both the heroes and the villains are black. But the main villain, now, if I've got this correct, if I haven't, Alex, please edit this out. The main villain is a white guy playing a black guy who's an albino. Am I right there?
I think that actor is an albino in real life. I think he is African-American.
I would sort of echo Paul's thoughts with respect to that. It just shows the magic of the media, and clearly, you know, it just works in all sorts of inclusive ways. Gwyneth, what a response to your question. What have you been watching though?
I've been watching, I like The Winter Soldier and Falcon. It's getting a lot of mixed reviews.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. We have as well.
I like it. I do agree that it's more of a movie than a TV show. It's not quite working as a TV show, but you know, I love Marvel. It's hard for me not to enjoy it. There we go.
Yeah, I'm a fanboy. I can't say anything negative about it.
Exactly.
apart from I hate that new Captain America.
That's the point of him.
Played by Kurt Russell's son, isn't he?
Yeah.
Is it?
Now, I like Falcon and Winter Soldier, but I don't love it as much as I loved WandaVision for some reason.
Yeah, I agree. WandaVision just worked and it was something fresh and new and I loved it.
Yeah.
I'll be doing a cosplay from that.
Yeah, WandaVision was, it totally took me by surprise, like the way they set it up. And I've been recently catching up with the Dick Van Dyke Show on Amazon, Amazon Prime. So I was really enjoying that black and white, that first episode. You know, harking back to Dick
Paul,
Van Dyke.
That's a clear deep dive, as we like to say, a deep dive.
Did I just hear Gwyneth say that she was going to cosplay from WandaVision?
She throws these nuggets in.
I cannot wait to see Gwyneth as the Vision.
How did you know? Yeah, me and my friends are doing the Halloween versions just for fun. Because I quite like the throwback to the retro costumes of the comics, though. So.
Yeah, that was the best. I'm glad that they did that. That was a really good inclusion.
Definitely.
So Gwyneth, how has it been for your good soul since last we spoke, really on the back of the DC Expanded Universe fandom all those months ago when we said, ah, yes, by the time we get to 2021, you know, all of this pandemic will be gone, you know, we'll be into a whole new world and so on. Well, not if you look at your history and the Spanish flu and various other things, people were still going down with influenza 5 years after the flu had actually gone through that. So, you know, we're in for quite some time. And even the polio vaccine wasn't actually efficacious until 30 years after it was finally put into place. But that's by the by. A little bit of uplifting thoughts there.
Thanks for that. Yeah,
exactly. How have you found Be More Geek? And do you know what? I think I've actually found in Middlesbrough the actual location of the Be More Geek store on Linthorpe Road. I wasn't expecting to see it, but I saw it. It was closed, obviously, social distancing, but I think I found it.
Awesome. Yes, you're going it. Obviously, I've been on furlough for most of the year. Obviously, Christmas was all right. It felt like things were back to normal, and then we got hit with another lockdown. So I've been back at work a couple of weeks just to get things ready, going back next week. So I'm looking forward to it because I've done nothing. I'm not going to lie. I could have got so much accomplished, but I didn't, unfortunately.
I think just being yourself and doing more cosplay material is there. Now, you're based, obviously, in the heart of the shopping epic that is the Metro Centre in Newcastle. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether Robin or Paul have ever been up to the heart of Newcastle-upon-Tyne. Lots of Geordies, I believe, are actually there. I believe that they I think it's G apostrophe Audies, which are actually the way forward in terms of cosplayers, etc. Other sort of factors within that whole field, have sort of fans been saying, we need our geekdom back? What's the sort of feeling be in terms of, obviously, what was a great store and a great sort of element to pursue?
Yeah, people loved it. I mean, I know it's not essential for most people, but some people, like, they need it in their lives to the geekdom and buying comics and figures. It, you know, you can do it online, but it's not the same. Like, some people like to come in and chat and have a browse. So people are definitely missing us. Yeah.
Have a browse. Wonder if we'll ever get back to that again. Who knows? only if you've got a passport, because let's face it, you want to go clothes shopping, you have a passport. Otherwise, send you to jail. It's a way forward. Totalitarian state, here we come. Paul, only kidding. When you're rolling those things out there.
You're really bringing us up today, aren't you?
I don't know. Maybe it's the way I am, really. Paul, have you got any questions you want to put to either Robin from the point of view of his film criticisms, or indeed Gwyneth from the point of view of her cosplay? And indeed, have you cosplayed yourself, Paul? Because if memory serves, I'm sure there were cosplayers in the Star Trek exhibition. And who knows, maybe even now in your role as an academic at the university or Anglia-Ruskin University, etc., you might also be tempted to every so often deliver a lecture, Catherine Janeway.
Well, no, not Catherine Janeway, but not last Halloween, but the one before. I got an inflatable T-Rex costume that you get inside it and it looks like you've got these fake legs. And I did a whole day's worth of teaching, as a dinosaur rider. So that was the closest I came. And then obviously at the Star Trek exhibition, I used to have to walk around in the captain's top every now and then, especially when there was
You hated that, didn't you? You hated it.
Yes, maybe. I'm not sure. I've got mixed feelings about it. I think I probably would have made a better Picard, like, ringing underneath here, rather than Kirk.
Those of us who are follically challenged appreciate exactly what Avery Brooks did, and of course Roberto Picardo, or Robert Picardo as the holographic doctor, or indeed Jean-Luc Picard. Got to ask, which captain? Was it Kirk? Was it Picard? Was it indeed Sisko? Or was it indeed Geoffrey Archer? Or rather Jonathan Archer? Let's not get the two confused.
For me, Picard is my best, my favourite. Yeah, definitely.
And I mean, I'm not sure, Gwyneth, how much of a Trek follower you actually are. I know we've talked to a whole range of other elements within that.
Just a little bit.
A
little bit. But I'm not like, I wouldn't say I was a fan, but I do like it. I like the original ones. I haven't watched much. I haven't watched the latest one.
So Lower Decks is something which you'll think, maybe not. We'll just have to wait and see.
I will get around to it. I will.
But Robin.
I started watching Next Generation recently, but I haven't finished them yet. I've already watched them, but I wanted to watch them again because that's my favourite.
What, one little letter coming basically after P in the alphabet, which has really got squeals of excitement from Robin Pierce in a trailer for the latest 2022 Picard. Isn't that correct, Robin? Or is it just a John Delancey moment?
That is indeed correct. I don't know if you've seen the trailer for, well, it's a teaser actually for the next season of Picard. It tells you absolutely nothing, but it still manages to tell you everything you need to know.
And the ultimate paradox, it tells you nothing, and it tells you everything.
In my estimation, despite being a huge Trekkie, it's the perfect trailer. It's what trailers should do.
Yeah, that's good. I think a lot of trailers they give too much away. Have you seen the new Mortal Kombat trailer?
Yeah, that's just everything, isn't it?
I have. I think the worst trailer I ever saw was for Alien Prometheus, where if you went to see the film, you realized that the trailer was actually most of the high points of the film, even in their proper chronological order.
Yeah, terrible. I have a soft spot for that film. I'm a massive Alien Universe fan.
Me too.
Yeah, so it gets a lot of heat, as Prometheus, and so does Covenant as well. But apart from the face-to-face flute scene, I think Covenant was pretty good.
I want to see the follow-up. I want to see where they go, because that should lead to what led to Alien and Aliens, I reckon.
I think the whoever wrote it, they write these characters, and like, if you or I, like, we know, like, if we're going to go onto a foreign body, like a foreign planet, you're going to wear a helmet. You're not just going to sit back and have a brew on a strange log in a strange land, like, because you don't know what's floating around. So I think that the scenario of how they got infected.
Every time I go to Newcastle, I say exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Not for nothing, when I was speaking to the director of LNER, London North Eastern Railways, and we were talking about exotic faraway lands, and Newcastle was mentioned several times.
The last time I went to Newcastle was about, I think it was two years ago, and myself and my wife and my two Spanish friends, they came over from Malaga, and we did a UK tour. So we set off from Blackpool, or from Lytham, and then we went to the Lake District and went to the Lake District Distillery, and then we drove over to Newcastle, and then we spent the night there in the EasyJet Hotel, which was terrible. But the bars around that area were really, really good. We found an awesome rum bar, and then we went from there to Edinburgh, and we spent the night there, and then we went from there to Glasgow, and we spent New Year's Eve there, which was a bit of a dodgy thing to perhaps try, but we had the best time ever. It was great.
Halcyon days. These days, of course, you'd be arrested by the time you cross the border for that kind of shameless kind of exposition and so on. I need to ask you, Paul, again, this is possibly on Robin's behalf, who I know is a massive Gaijin fan, I believe, in terms of your love for Godzilla and various other sort of systems from that point of view. Is that a Godzilla poster you've got in the background?
It is, yeah. Let me just tip this up a little bit.
Wow.
That's cool.
I mean, he's, and now Robin is going to attempt to actually sort of raise the stakes even higher by actually bringing out, what do we see there, Robin?
Well, Godzilla himself splashing in the water.
I want to ask you, Robin, I recently rewatched the Matthew Broderick effort, and I think that says it all, but I couldn't even get to the end, really. You know, I got to as far as when it was starting to rain, and then they found the eggs in the stadium, and I was like, oh, babe, should we just turn this off? It's so long and nothing's happening in this film.
It's not the kind of movie you'd want your daughter to be born to, would it, really?
No. I mean,
you know, go Thor Ragnarok any time, really. Yeah. Not the Matthew Broderick incarnation of Godzilla.
My estimation of that film is it's a really good, adequate monster movie. It is in no way a Godzilla movie. No way, shape, or form. Interestingly enough, in the last of the main series that Toho Productions did for Godzilla called Final Wars, Godzilla in that film, it was epic. And he came up against every, you know, other monster he'd ever fought in over 30 years of films. And one of them, I mean, Toho had got the rights to use the Matthew Broderick version of Godzilla by then. They called him just Zilla. And he was in basically a cameo scene where he wanders up to the real Godzilla and is destroyed with one punch. And that is what the Japanese thought of the Matthew Broderick Godzilla.
Yeah. I think the best sort of couple of films or film of Godzilla that I saw recently, I think it was called Shin Godzilla.
Yes, and that came after the Final Wars. And I enjoyed that because it was no longer a man in a costume, but they actually went to great pains to make the CGI look like a man in a costume, which just sold me immediately on it.
Yeah, I didn't really know. You know, in the beginning of that film, when you see this creature, this like worm-like thing coming up the port, when that was happening, I was like, what's going on? Is that the threat or is that Godzilla? And then all of a sudden, like, spoilers, like it becomes Godzilla after a while. Like,
well, for a while I was convinced it was like a sort of like a cocoon stage of Mothra.
Yeah, definitely. And
of course, when you mentioned Cocoon, there was a movie with Steve Guttenberg.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah,
still,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And Cocoon the Return, which had Monica from Friends in it.
She was precisely, there. Exactly. Yeah. What's not to appreciate in such greats there? Gwyneth,
as I get older, I want to go up in that ship. Yeah.
Gwyneth, I think the penultimate external report that we actually did, location report, was indeed at Be More Geek in Newcastle. I'm thinking maybe, obviously equipped with my mask and assuming I survived my vaccine, which is due in about 36 hours from now, number one at least, I might actually sort of make that journey up to the strange land of Newcastle and do
you
something
should.
On. We might do that. We should actually bring Robin along as well, although he has to come from a foreign country where they've just started to open up hairdressers this week. So, you know, Wales, different line in time.
Hey, I got mine cut before you.
Yes. Yeah, Pwelly or Pwelly. I'm not going to go there. Anyway, that's a whole new world. Paul, let's move back to Cybernauts. Would you like to explain why you have said Paul Powers would like you to like Cybernauts and the Cybernauts routine? And of course, how it's thanks to your good self with respect to the magical digits of the binary age that you also uploaded, and indeed might like to upload this one as well. We don't know.
Yeah, that'd be great.
A midweek drive, once I've actually secured, obviously, the clearance for everybody, because, I mean...
Yeah.
Gwyneth, I know, when it comes to image rights, appearing on YouTube, Lord knows it's a nightmare. I mean, the first time around at the Doncaster Comic Con, she had a whole stream of lawyers we had to actually sort of contact just to actually do the audio piece with it. It was amazing. But would you like to explain how this is operating, how the Cybernauts, not connected with the Avengers Cybernauts, but something which Gwyneth and Robin, and indeed random viewers might like to connect with as well as random listeners?
Yeah, thanks, Alex. So Cybernauts, or the Cybernaut Club, is a growing online community and trying to not be a competitor to Robin, but trying to become like a technology news outlet or like an interesting place that people would visit to go and get the latest you know, information online, you know, and we have a presence on all of the social medias. So the most modern ones, we have like a Discord server that you can interact with the people who run all of the social media accounts, and you can keep a track on our projects. So basically it's myself, and I kind of came up with the concept in order to help my level three students, at Angular Ruskin, to help them to work on their Unit 8 business applications of social media module. So they needed to interact with a company and have a real sort of project going on. But obviously right now things are a little bit tricky. And so I had access to this web domain and a little bit of time. So I put this sort of company together, this fictionalized company called the Cybernaut Club. And I built the website around it. And then I built all of the social media presence. And then I handed it all over to my students for them to manage. So I've put them 25 students into small teams of twos and threes, a couple of teams of four. And so we have one team looking after the YouTube, one team doing regular Twitch streams. I do the Twitter. We have two teams on Facebook, one team on Instagram. And they scour the internet looking for, science fiction or science fact-based news and topics. And every week we have a new theme. So we've done war, space, sci-fi, AI. This week we're doing toys. So technology-based toys or how children interact with
what
them.
What music to play to women giving birth? Or indeed,
yeah.
What monster movies or what Marvel movies are the best
to
a home birth?
Yeah, well, we also have a Cybernaut Club playlist that I've put together on Spotify. So there's a link to that on there as well. So if you wanted to join us on a Twitch, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you can play with the students. They do Minecraft. Yeah,
that could be actionable, Paul. I just want to say that. I'm wearing my hat.
No, yeah.
I do not play with the students. They are human beings. You can't go down that route.
We do Minecraft, Among Us, and Call of Duty on different days that are scheduled on Twitch. So people are able to interact with the Cybernaut Club 3 Amigos, and they're our regular hosts on that sort of platform. And then I hop in, and then we bring in other people as well. And you can compete against us, and then we upload it to Twitch and download it and upload it to YouTube.
It sounds as though you need never leave Wales ever again, Robin. I'm just putting that out to you.
It's all going to come to me. I will definitely be checking this out.
That's great. Yeah, it would be awesome to have somebody experienced like you. You do Starburst magazine, to have a conversation with you or get some tips from you on the best way to sort of go about this, Robin. Because it's something that I'd like to continue doing with different generations of students to build something like the way Alex, and his colleagues have done with Siren FM.
It's handing the mantle on. Sometimes we just need to actually say new ships, new ideas, come, new times for stuff.
What you've just told me, I have two words and two words only for you. Done deal.
Okay, well, brilliant. Thank you.
And then, of course, there's always cosplay with Gen T.
Yeah, exactly.
Gwyneth Griffiths.
So, Gwyneth, have you been to For the Love of Sci-Fi in Manchester a couple of years ago? Did you go to that one?
I didn't go to that one. Was that the one that was a bit...
They had a giant inflatable Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. You could see it from miles away.
I have seen that before, though, at another event.
Right.
I'm part of the UK Ghostbusters, so I know.
Oh, cool! I've got loads of pictures of that. I'll send them to you. I'll if you share your details after this, I'll send you all the pictures from that expo.
She is part of UK Ghostbusters, so obviously, Robin, that's one of the reasons she has
like official legit.
Yeah.
Wow.
So who
do you think
call?
Of the? Oh, sorry, Robin.
Who are you going to call?
Who are you going to call?
Yeah.
Gwyneth Griffiths.
What do you think of the new movie that's coming out with Paul Rudd? Are you excited for that?
I am. Obviously, the trailer, which people don't know if it's part of the movie or if it's just like was made as kind of more of a... Because it looks very different to what we've seen already from the movie. But either way, I'm excited. I'm a huge fan. And I know that from the sounds of it, they've done a good job and it's going to be quite a nice throwback to the old one as well.
And what did you think of the last one?
I really enjoyed it. I know a lot of people didn't. My thing was people thought it was Ghostbusters 3 when it wasn't. It was just a reboot, a completely different part of the franchise. And I thought they did a good job. It was a fun film. Not as good as
original. I think it was fun, but some of the scenes they felt I don't know if you remember, like, you know, after you watch Anchorman, and then, like, at the end of the film, they have all the outtakes where they do loads of different checks of different lines to see what works and what doesn't. Some of the actual film of that, with the scene in the lab with Melissa McCarthy, it felt like they were just doing that, like they were ad-libbing. There was no sort of, like, you know, script for that part, and it didn't feel like it flowed very well.
She did say there was a lot of ad lib, which is obviously
sure. So, sometimes it pays off, but I didn't like that. But I like the film as a whole. Like,
yeah. It had its flaws, but it was fun. And I cosplay Erin Gilbert because I like it.
I think it's more a case of Erin Gilbert cosplays yourself, Gwyneth, but that's something like entirely. It has been an awesome scenario once again. We will be talking again, as mentioned, with the Chief Executive Officer for GLER. Is that right? Yes, great. LNER. Those four-letter acronyms. It used to be GNER, now it's LNER. Anyway, he looks after railways and staycations. He's coming up after this. But Robin, you're in the role of senior co-host, senior co-presenter. Wow. You've reached head boy status. I know it's a shocker, but there you go. Would you like to put those last two questions to our fellow geeks today? No, shameless plug, of course, for Be More Geek and Gwyneth, etc. And indeed, Cybernauts, Gwyneth and Paul. It's over to you, Robin, for those last two questions.
Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us tonight?
As always, yes.
Yeah, definitely. It's great to meet new people, especially, you know, we've been locked down for ages now, and this is like almost a dream come true for me to meet people with similar interests like this, who are passionate about, you know, the same things that I am. I kind of feel, you know, comfortable and at home here, rather than, you know, if I go to work and talk about this stuff, people are like, what's that geek doing over there? What's he talking about? But here,
that's just the Vice Chancellor, Robin, and Paul. You know, that's the key thing. Yeah.
And will you be happy to join us again for more of this madness?
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Always fun.
Anytime.
There we are. I think we've also got a couple of successful audition passes for Resonance Rewind as well, which is always good from that point of view. So we'll work our way through that. Gwyneth Griffiths, Paul Powers and Robin Pierce, huge thanks. I suppose technically, Paul, I mean, again, I've put this open, but if you do want to actually have the video for this, which I mean, if Robin's happy and Gwyneth's happy, we can work through that. They'll let me know who they are. We should really give a farewell wave, really, to the camera, because you want some visuals.
Definitely. And if you guys would like to promote, you know, your own things as well, you know, because I'll write this up as well as a blog post like I did last time. And you know,
and having a new child in the family as well. I mean, are there no limits to what Paul can actually bring? He's got those powers. Sorry, I couldn't resist.
I should have worn my powers t-shirt. I'll wear that next time. I have Flash, but it says powers like across here. So I'll make sure I have that on next time for you.
It's a whole new world. Shall we wave farewell then?
Yeah. Thanks. Bye. Great to see you.
Bye.
Time for another Zoomer on the Midweek Drive for Siren Radio and southsidebroadcasting.podbeam.com. Keeping the COVID-19 bugs at bay.
Just like a train timetable, it works perfectly in so many ways. Of course, the last official location report we actually did for the Midweek Drive was up in Edinburgh in January of 2020. Some things have happened since then, and not least of which has obviously been the whole notion of the pandemic and so on. But as we actually look to further location reports and indeed the usefulness of the staycation, at least in the British Isles, it's good to know that the railways are indeed on our side, specifically, of course, LNER, which is, of course, the London North Eastern Railway. And good news, it would seem, is being manifest for passengers, or indeed intending passengers. And to talk about this, we're delighted to welcome the Managing Director of the aforementioned LNER. That's the wonderful David Horn. How are you, David?
Hello, very well, thank you.
Excellent. So this research that was carried out for LNER does suggest that more and more people are actually booking ahead and obviously intending to travel all the way around the country with respect to, well, certainly the East Coast, let's say Edinburgh, through Lincoln, through Yorkshire, through all sorts of things, etc., which can only be good news for the planet, as well as obviously our reducing of carbon emissions.
Yes, that's right. I mean, perhaps it's no surprise that after so many weeks of lockdown, a lot of people are itching to get out and about and explore again. It is going to be a bit more difficult to travel overseas this year, of course. There's so many additional things to think about and extra restrictions. So, yes, so the research shows that over 3/4 of people are planning a trip this summer, their first post-lockdown trip to be in the UK. And, of course, that there's so many great places to visit around the country, the cities, the coast, the countryside. There's great places to explore. And this year is going to be another year when we're going to have to be a bit creative about where we go and spend our summer.
I've always been very impressed with the train services in Britain. In most cases, they do tend to be a wonderful luxury to actually get on the train and move in all sorts of ways. Minor sort of irritations in times past, of course, being sometimes if you didn't book ahead, if you didn't actually book your seat, you could be actually crushed together in all sorts of things with respect to standing room only. Thankfully, bit of a COVID bonus here, if you do need to book ahead, as you should do, there is obviously social distancing in place, David.
Yes, and that policy has gone down really well with our customers. We've been getting great feedback about that policy. So we are asking people to book ahead and reserve a seat when they travel with us on LNER, and that's so that we can ensure social distancing on board. Of course, it also ensures that everybody does have a seat and is comfortable for their journey. And safety, of course, is a key thing that everybody's matters to everybody, especially this year. And so the extra measures that we've been doing in terms of extra cleanliness, combined with the seat reservation arrangements, and combined with the other things that we have in place to keep people safe, you know, it's especially important this year. But yeah, I mean, our whole aim at LNER, of course, is to ensure that people have a great journey when they're traveling with us, that they are comfortable, that we're part of the experience. And we do like to think that when you're traveling somewhere by train for a day trip or a weekend break or a longer stay, you know, the experience can start with that train journey. You can spend the time to good effect, looking out the window, enjoying the great views, or indeed reading, catching up on a film or something like that. So yeah, we've got to provide people with a great experience.
141% is the amount of increase that there's been to look for the number of visitors that have been searching your site and so on. Again, this is probably just demonstrating that, you know, clearly the train is here to stay and isn't going away.
Yes, and I think, you know, a couple of things I think we've seen over lockdown. First of all, people have spent their time during lockdown planning their trips for the summer, for when lockdown eases. And so we've seen those visitors and searches coming through on our website. I think the other thing that we've seen is people are much more conscious now about how they travel and about sustainability and about the impact on the environment. It's been coming through really clearly from customers. You know, people are reassessing how they travel, fewer journeys by car, fewer journeys by plane. Particularly younger age groups are telling us that they're really going to be more conscious about how they travel in the future. And of course, traveling by train is more sustainable. Our carbon footprint is a lot lower than it is by other modes. And so this does matter to people. And I think we've got a great combination. We've got a great rail network within the UK, serves a lot of the country. And it's a great way to get around the country this year and enjoy the places to visit that we've all been looking forward to.
And there are, of course, lots of things to actually do, whether you're heading up to Scotland or indeed going through Yorkshire. The Welcome to Yorkshire people have got all sorts of wonderful things lined up from that point of view, or indeed Lincolnshire or beyond. But David, with all that time that's actually there...
Yes,
No, go on.
Yes, I was just going to say, I mean, we've been extending our network, of course, and we've introduced our direct services between Lincoln and London, but we've also extended services to places like Harrogate in Yorkshire. So, you know, some, as well as the traditional destinations like York and Newcastle, which are great cities to visit as well. So there's some fantastic places on our network which are now easier to get to by train than they were before.
And again, in terms of the whole experience of travelling by train and actually using it to ensure we maximise time, do you think we'll ever see a return of the sleeper systems that actually we used to be there? I always used to enjoy those, the sort of notion that you could actually sort of take a late night train and actually sort of when you woke up in the morning, you'd be at your latest destination.
Well, yes, and we've got the sleeper that does run from Scotland down to London, and there's also a sleeper that runs from London down to Cornwall. So obviously for us in the middle of the country, it doesn't quite work for us.
Kind of more a nap train would be useful perhaps, as opposed to
that's right, a
mid-afternoon nap train,
a shorter nap train. But certainly, I mean, I've taken the sleeper a couple of times from London up to Scotland, and it is a great experience. I think it's a great time saver. You know, you can spend the time during the day exploring places and travel overnight. And you save money on the hotel as well. You know, it saves a bit of money on hotels.
Precisely, a win-win situation. LNER.co.uk, presumably the best place to actually go to find out further details about booking ahead and, of course, the train services that are on offer.
Yeah, that's where we've put the tickets on sale. And the information is also on there about the measures that we're taking to ensure that people are safe.
And do you have any plans yourself, David, in terms of availing yourself of LNER, indeed taking a staycation in the country?
Yes, we absolutely not planned anything overseas this year. I've got my family holiday is planned within the UK later in the summer. And I'm actually looking forward to getting up to see my family up in my wife's family up in Scotland as well. You know, Scotland is a great place to spend some time in the summer. There's not going to be as many people visiting Edinburgh this summer. So it is going to be slightly easier to get a hotel in Edinburgh this summer as well. So I'm hoping to spend some time in there as well.
Fantastic. David Horn, Managing Director of London North Eastern Railway, LNER, of course. Many thanks indeed, and keep on keeping on.
Lovely. Thanks very much.
The number one concern regarding future growth for businesses in the UK, cybersecurity. Apparently 60% of firms have actually set aside between £500,000 and £5 million to pay out for ransomware attacks. Now, clearly this is of crucial importance to all of us who are concerned with hackers and issues tied in with the cyber world in which inevitably we live. So we're delighted to be able to welcome to the programme today the fabulous cybersecurity director of Six Clicks. That's the wonderful Haroon Malik. How are you, Haroon?
Hi, Alex. And I've been called a lot of things before, but a fabulous director, that you've made my day there.
Well, it's OK, Haroon, because I think we need to be positive on this one. It is interesting, though, this survey that does suggest that it's not necessarily the economy, but it's the more nefarious aspects of people who are actually seeing the opportunity through ransomware to actually say, well, we'll just hack into these companies' accounts and actually hold them to ransom.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, so look, I've been in cybersecurity for 15 years now, and I still remember cyber as being one of those words that, you know, let's just go in there, the IT people deal with it. But now, as you rightly said, with ransomware, you know, the threat actors becoming more sophisticated, more advanced, you know, we've seen companies, Alex, that have been ground to a halt, you know, the IT systems destroyed or not being able to be used. Ransoms being paid in the millions. So absolutely, it's a hugely growing issue right now.
There were 500, I should say, board level chiefs who were actually surveyed in this particular aspect, and only just over a quarter of them actually understood the nature of supply chain securities posed against their companies. And again, it goes back to saying, well, it's all very well sort of saying, oh, we're going to set aside £500,000 to actually cope with ransomware attacks. That surely is only going to exacerbate the problem, isn't it?
Well, look, I think companies need to look at what is it going to take to resume business operations. And in a lot of cases, companies cannot afford to stay offline for more than 10 minutes. You know, we're talking losses in sort of millions of pounds and dollars. So unfortunately, in a lot of the cases, they are left but with no choice but to pay the ransom just so that they get business operations resumed. And on your point on the supply chain, that's a huge issue right now as well, because, you know, Alex, I could send you some data knowing that, you know, you might be secure. But if you're working with some third parties and then you're sending that data on, you know, how do I know that they're going to protect my data? And that's how a lot of the cyber attacks happen. You know, they get through to third party companies to get to the target they want.
multi-factor authentication, or MFA, might be seen by many as a pain in the cyber butt, but it is something which I think more and more of us are having to get used to, certainly in terms of university work that I actually do. I usually find I'm having to sort of keep my mobile phone to hand, and you often have to deal with sort of codes that are being entered in probably about five or six times a day, etc. Is that just, again, a drop in the ocean in terms of what we need to actually do in terms of ensuring that we are cyber hygienic?
Yeah. So look, when I talk about cybersecurity protection, there is two areas. There's the technical side, which you say multi-factor authentication, strong passwords, updating all your systems. That's all important. But I always say, Alex, the most important thing is the human aspect, you know, the awareness, the vigilance that comes before the technology. You know, a lot of cyber attacks actually happen because, you know, the user wasn't aware of you know, the fact that they shouldn't have downloaded that attachment or gone onto that website. So I think if we can focus more on the training, the culture, you know, the technology bit, the MFA bit stuff comes afterwards. And those are just a few things in a wider cybersecurity protection strategy. There's obviously a lot more, but those are the two areas I think we need to concentrate on for now.
This interview is obviously raising awareness to a certain extent, Haroon, with respect to cyber security and so on. But should the government actually be doing more to kind of run campaigns or indeed actually start legislating to protect businesses against cybercrime?
Absolutely. Look, I think one thing I would say about our government here is that they've come leaps and bounds in the last couple of years. You know, we have a world-class cybersecurity, National Cybersecurity Centre. You know, Prime Minister Boris Johnson, he's got a renewed focus on cybersecurity strategy as of about 3 weeks ago. And all that stuff is great. I think what we need is to drive real change. You know, legislation, you know, unfortunately, the internet isn't regulated, so people can pretty much do what they like. I think where governments can help is perhaps on smaller businesses. You know, smaller businesses really are a big target, Alex, for cyber attacks now, and often they don't know what to do. So things like, I don't know, maybe a levy or a reduction in VAT on cybersecurity products for smaller companies, or, you know, some kind of awareness activity that kind of goes beyond the typical, well, here's some information here, you know, you can deal with it. I think we need to go beyond that and drive some real change here.
And clearly, we've moved on considerably from the days where you'd find an email from a long-lost relative in Nigeria who had actually wished to leave you several billion pounds if you actually sent their bank details or sent your bank details to them and so on. But away from that, it's fair to say that many of these cyber criminals have become more sophisticated in their approaches. And it's not just the big companies and the big corporations that are being targeted. You just alluded to there that actually small, medium enterprises can often be seen presumably as softer targets.
Oh, that they are, for sure. You know, I've seen the industry, I've seen the targets evolve over the last 10, 15 years. You know, typically it was always banks and insurance companies. But, you know, the hackers are now thinking, well, you know, they've actually, you know, got some good defenses. Let's go to other targets which haven't got good defenses. But you know what? They hold a lot of sensitive data. So you look at a lot of these SMEs, you know, they hold masses of personal data and information, but they have very archaic tools. You know, the cyber maturity, the way we say it, isn't perhaps the way it should be. So criminals can get in and get out very, very quickly. And unfortunately, you know, the impact on SMEs is far worse than it is on a big company. You know, I think there was a statistics like, you know, 40% of SMEs that have a cyber attack actually closed down within the first 6 months. You know, that's how bad it is.
SixClix is very much a cloud-based technology solution. Is that also, I mean, again, I suspect the answer is fairly obvious here, Haroon, but presumably the fears that people have about, oh, the cloud, we're not sure how safe it is. Presumably there are safeguards and security checks in place for that as well.
Yeah, it's a really good point. So I think a lot of companies, they, you know, it's very quick for us to say, we put it in the cloud. It's in the cloud. You know, we hear a lot of that, thinking that things are going to be secure automatically. And that's not always the case. You know, we've got to find out that, you know, whoever's accessing that data in the cloud has been validated, authenticated. And, you know, there are a lot of cloud security attacks now as well, Alex. So it's about really understanding beforehand, you know, what are the risks of you putting your data in the cloud? And if it was to be hacked, how are you going to get that data back? It's a second bit that companies don't think about. If we were to be cyber attacked, what is that going to look like? And how are we going to recover our data? Not just here's a plan and we think it will work.
And is that very much tied in with the contingencies that businesses need to actually sort of engage with as soon as possible in order to actually protect themselves?
Absolutely. You know, one thing I always say to businesses, you know, whether you are a one-man band or you are a small, medium enterprise or a global company, go through that exercise of a cyber attack, you know, a hypothetical cyber attack. You know, we call it incident scenario planning. You know, actually, you know, go through that exercise. If you were to have a cyber attack, who would you call? How would it be detected? How would you even respond to press and media? You know, all those things need to be rehearsed, because unfortunately, far too many companies are finding out when the real thing happens, and you know, they're not prepared, and that's when things go disastrously wrong.
I'm really interested in SixClick's incorporation of the world's first artificial intelligence engine, otherwise known as Haley. Can you just share with us a little bit about how Haley can actually help with us? Or am I just personalizing an artificial intelligence once again, and I'm giving a personification when, you know, I'm even referring to her with a pronoun her?
Yeah. So that was a big one for us. Look, most software platforms now, they have some form of artificial intelligence. I've seen Bob, I've seen Max. I think we've done Haley is because when we spell Haley, we see the words AI, H-A-I. So it's a play on that word. But absolutely, look, our sort of world-class engine is there to really help companies understand, identify, monitor their cyber risks. You know, the way that's currently being done is very archaic, quite poor. You know, it's done on spreadsheets, but our platform helps kind of streamline that, and using the AI that we've got inbuilt within that, you know, you can reduce administrative burden, you can, you know, find out risks quicker, you can compare regulations within a matter of seconds. So that's what we're using AI for within our SixClick platform.
Well, as long as it doesn't go down the line of the HAL 9000, and that's a cyber joke, which I won't even go into in this particular instance. SixClicks.io presumably is the best website to go to find out further details, Haroon?
That's correct, absolutely.
Excellent. And we've got two final security questions that we need to ask you. Are they security? No, they're really customer satisfaction. First of all, Haroon, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the program today?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been great speaking to you. Really good.
In which case, can we look forward to connecting with you again in the not too distant future? Will you return?
I look forward to it. Pleasure, Alex.
Haroon Malik, Cybersecurity Director of SixClicks. Many thanks indeed. Take care now.
Cheers, Alex.